Welcome to Inbound Raleigh, a podcast about transit in the City of Oaks. I'm Jennifer.
And I'm James. For our first show, we'd like to start with a short discussion about Raleigh, transit, why we're doing this, and what we hope to get from it. After all, it's not a paid gig.
Yeah, and we know a thing or two about that. As some of you might know, James and I have both put in a lot of volunteer hours at the Raleigh Poke Record, which is an online news source. I used to be the managing editor, and then I was on the board for a while, and I'm not part of that project anymore. And since then, I've kind of thought about doing a podcast, and it seems like Raleigh could use something like this. Especially something focused on transit. I'm a huge fan of podcasts, always listening to them. Seemed like a fun idea, you know, who needs paid work when you can volunteer to do something like this? So I said, hey, James, you seem like you're a sucker. Let's do this.
Yeah, I love working for free. And I've definitely heard people talk about the idea of doing a Raleigh podcast. Some have started them in the past, but I haven't stuck with them. And I've actually thought about doing one for my Development Beat column, which is something I still write for the Record. It's a short daily column about construction and development around the city. But I just never sort of had the drive to put that together. So thankfully Jennifer had come to me with this, and I was pretty excited. I was actually talking to an ex-girlfriend of mine about it, and saying, oh, I think this is going to be a lot of fun. And she's kind of like, I don't know if that's really going to work out. And I said, what's the problem? Should we more have a voice for silent film?
Well, at least you didn't say you had a face for radio. That's the old joke.
Well, that's actually what I said to her. I said, well, at least you didn't make the face for radio joke. And she said, well, I figured that was just sort of implied. So,
Yeah. And that's why she's your ex.
Right. Well, no, I appreciate that. So that's why my relationships never end well. Our plan, though, is to release a podcast every 2 weeks for now. We want to increase that to one a week at some point, but we figure it's easier to start small.
That's usually the best approach. And just a quick heads up, James and I both have background in journalism, so this will be kind of newsy, kind of interviews. Sometimes you're going to hear him and I just kind of chat in transit and what's going on out there. And then we're also going to talk to Eric Lamb, for example, who's the Raleigh Transit Planner, and a bunch of other people. And we hope to record some stories and bring those to you and that kind of thing. So should be pretty fun.
Yeah, so the show is going to be a real mix. And there's a lot going on with transit right now, including, of course, the big transit tax referendum coming up. If you have any interest in transit, you've probably heard that we're going to be voting on the transit tax in November. We'll be talking about that in much more detail in an upcoming show. But for today, we thought we'd do a little roundup of transit in general in Raleigh.
Yeah, so let's start on the ground. And by that, I mean our feet. Maybe you don't think of your feet as a mode of transportation, but of course, a lot of people use walking as their primary mode. I do a lot of walking around Raleigh, and I don't like seeing it left out of the discussion, because it is an important part of getting from here to there. Luckily, Raleigh is doing some sidewalk projects right now.
The city actually has 30, well, what they have are 30, what they refer to as active sidewalk projects right now, though almost all of them are at the design stage at this point. So, Six Forks Road is really the only one that I definitely call a sidewalk project that's in construction right now, but there is also some work underway for the Part A of the I-40 bridge pedestrian retrofits, which is sort of, retrofitting some overpasses along I-40 for pedestrians. Includes overpasses at Buck Jones Road, Avon Ferry Road, and the Rock Quarry Road bridges. And that's supposed to be wrapped up late fall of this year. And then I guess they'll be moving on to Part B, which is in the design phase, and we want to complete that next summer. That'll be, I think, Trailwood Drive area will be affected by that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those. I've never walked over the highway before, but it always seems kind of a cool place to walk.
Yeah. I've worked on pedestrian bridges in other cities, and just kind of give you that nice view.
Yeah, absolutely. And back to those projects that are in design, two of the ones that I'm sort of excited about, because where I live is right off Capitol Boulevard, right outside the Beltline. So there's two sidewalk projects along Capitol. One is a little bit north of me, but south of the 540 interchange, out near the Triangle Town Center Mall. And the other one is closer to me, just north of 440. What Capitol really needs is sort of a direct, safe pedestrian route that goes into downtown Raleigh, or at least the outskirts of it. Right now it's a really quick drive to hop on Capitol and just shoot right into the city. But if you're biking or if you're walking, it's pretty dodgy just getting past the 440 interchange, and things don't really improve from there. Fortunately, along P Street, which is a prime exit for people driving on Capitol Boulevard, the city is planning to install new sidewalks and trees along both sides of Peace between St. Mary's and West Street. And that's actually part of the Capitol Boulevard corridor plan that the area will, you know, there's going to be a lot of construction in that area occurring as two Capitol Boulevard bridges are replaced by the NCDOT. If you're out there on Twitter, you probably saw that New Raleigh recently shared some new renderings of the bridges, which is exciting if you're into that kind of thing.
Well, and, you know, dtraleigh.com also has some good information about that. And, yes, I might be a little bit biased. dtraleigh.com is my husband, but he's got some info in the renderings. They just had a meeting the other night, too. So check that out.
Yeah,
Leo's
site is a great resource for things like that. New Raleigh's a Twitter account. Leo's is a really in-depth look at some of those kind of projects around the city. about the Peace Street projects, you know, it would be nice if the plans stretched all the way past Seaboard Station to Salisbury. Right now, it's just, like I said, between St. Mary's and West Street. But the project's already budgeted about $2 million, and that's just for 0.3 miles. If you extended it as far as I was hoping, Salisbury, it's another 0.4 miles, so it'd be pretty expensive.
Yeah, but it's going to be so super nice to have sidewalks and have that all redone. If you've walked along Peace Street, you know that it just doesn't feel great. on one side, there is no sidewalk, or it is, but then it jumps, and you know you have to like cut in front of the Capitol, exit people, major scary. Or you can walk under the bridge where there's like tons of bird crap. And am I allowed to say that?
I think I've seen sleeping bags up there too, which always makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, and that's just it's not a great walk. So that should be pretty cool to see. Another sidewalk project I'm keeping an eye on right now is the Blunt and Person Streets. That's in the southern part of DT Raleigh, just south of the MLK. They're working on that for spring of 2017, and that's part of another corridor plan, the Blunt and Person Street corridor plan. So we'll link to stuff like that in our show notes so you can learn more about it. And again, this is just our roundup, so we'll be back to talk about a lot of these topics later.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Jennifer, people might not think of sidewalks when they think transit, and there's a good reason for that. I recently read this interview with an author of a book called Sidewalks, Conflict and Negotiation Over Public Space. The author of that book, in case it sounds interesting to you, I'm probably going to mispronounce her name. She is Greek. It is Anastasia Loukaitou Sideris. And the book is all about the declining use of sidewalks in the U.S. She's also known as the Sidewalk Scholar, which is exciting. You know, obviously, I didn't read the book myself. I love urban planning literature, but I did read that, like I said, in an archive interview. It was in the now defunct UCLA Today, which I guess is some kind of student newspaper. And in that interview, Anastasia laid out the blame for empty sidewalks, not only on the design and layout of American cities, which are often too big and too bland. It's not really a place it's not exciting or interesting to walk around, which I don't think applies to most of downtown Raleigh, by the way. But she also said that regulations barring a range of uses from the sidewalks were one of the reasons they're so empty. And that is something we've seen in Raleigh. I think it was last summer that we saw the controversy over the so-called patio dining controversy. It was really what the issue was sidewalk dining. And it falls under an ordinance of private use of public space. And it wasn't just businesses setting up tables out on the sidewalk. It's also people using the sidewalks for things like selling merchandise or conducting exercise classes or the dog walking businesses, that kind of thing. Those are all regulated. And I guess in this book, I can't pronounce her last name, so I'm just calling her Anastasia. Anastasia argues that those regulations make the sidewalks emptier and ultimately less safe because the longstanding argument is the more people out on the streets, more people on the sidewalks, the safer and better a city is.
That's interesting. I'm kind of glad to hear that it wasn't like laziness is why I wasn't lazy American sidewalks.
I'm sure that's a fact.
It's probably part of it too.
Yeah.
And we're going to be having these kinds of discussions a lot more on the podcast too. It's not just like, here's what's going on in transit. Here's like, let's do a deep dive on some of these issues. But I do notice that Raleigh sidewalks have been a little bit more used lately, and that's all thanks to Pokemon. If you've been out in downtown Raleigh and see people wandering around staring at their phones, they're not lost. They're looking for Pokemon, especially in Nash Square, in case you haven't heard. Random anecdote. My husband has a colleague who lost 10 pounds playing Pokemon because he's out there walking after dinner instead of watching TV on the couch. So, hey, maybe Raleigh sidewalks are saved after all.
Yeah, and good for him for losing that weight. That's impressive.
Yes. Next up, bicycles. We're starting to see more of them on Raleigh streets, too, especially downtown. It's not just for the greenways.
Yeah, and I know bikes are big and everyone's excited about bike share. And really, though, if I'm downtown, I feel like it's easier just to walk. It doesn't take very long to get anywhere. It's downtown Raleigh is not that big. And with the layout and topography of the city, the idea of biking from where I live off Capitol into downtown, even if there was that safe direct route that I mentioned before, doesn't really hold a lot of appeal for me.
So is it like, I hear you and I kind of agree, but it's, if you live in some of the neighboring neighborhoods around the city, it makes sense to get, you know, downtown. Is it the parking that bothers you or just getting in there?
Well, specifically from where I live, it's dangerous. That's the biggest thing. But even if let's take that out of the equation, I guess I'm kind of lazy and it's very hilly and it's probably, you're going to hit hills going, but you're going to be going uphill in both directions at certain points. That's not very appealing to me. You know, there are plenty of places to leave your bike and it's easier than parking, I guess, but you know, I'm from Pennsylvania and every summer growing up, we went to Ocean City, New Jersey. And I was there again for a week last summer. I rented a bike and I rode it absolutely everywhere, but there's a few things that made it more appealing. And I guess some of these things were present in Raleigh. You know, I wouldn't be complaining about biking here, but the biggest thing, I guess, is the entire island is flat, so it's a lot easier. But cars are much more inclined to yield to pedestrians and cyclists. Driving itself is a bit of a hassle down there, or up there, and parking is pretty hard to find unless you're willing to pay a premium. And everything you need is within a few miles, so it's easy to bike to the grocery store, to the park, or the arcade, or the boardwalk, wherever you're going, and get there pretty fast.
Yeah, that makes sense, and I think that's part of the challenges Raleigh's facing right now as we come into ourselves as more of a city environment, and a lot of people are pushing for that, for some of those reasons you mentioned, although, I'm sorry, if you're lazy, you can't handle the terrain and the uphill both ways, which is very true, then, you know, I can't help you there, but as more people are using bikes, it does, you do have cars paying more attention to them, and as a bicyclist, I definitely feel safer than I did a few years back. Right now we are listed as a bicycle friendly community by the League of American Bicyclists. We're only at the bronze level. Transit planner Eric Lamb actually wrote a blog post about that and he's pretty disappointed, but it must be tough to get up to those higher levels. It says to do that we need to get our number of bicycle crashes down and our bicycle mode share numbers need to go up. I think you were just telling me there's only a few cities that made platinum, right?
According to the Bicycle Friendly Communities, there were four platinum cities in 2015. It was Boulder, Colorado, Davis, California, Fort Collins, Colorado, and Portland, Oregon were the only platinums, or, you know, maybe a little more than a dozen golds, a lot of silvers. Here in North Carolina, both Asheville and Charlotte were also ranked bronze. So we're not beating Charlotte, but they're not beating us. So I guess it's sort of a wash there.
That's always a plus.
But what bummed me out is Ocean City, New Jersey, that I was just talking about, is on that list, and they're also bronze. And that's insane to me, especially because Philadelphia is ranked silver, and I would never ride my bike in downtown Philly. But...
yeah. Well, maybe, does downtown Philly have bike lanes, though? Because bike lanes versus share rows. Now, share rows, I think, are not that helpful. I don't
really.
I understand that it's kind of telling cars, hey, don't forget there's a bike here, and that's great, but I think a lot of bicyclists feel more comfortable if there's a dedicated bike lane.
Yeah, I can see that.
So there's the BPAC in Raleigh, that's the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee. They are working on their plan for this year that was approved in June by the City Council. And they do a lot of, like, reviews of city projects to see if there's room to add some bike and pedestrian improvements, which is good. They do outreach and events. Their plan for this year includes overseeing some new bikes, the new bike share system. And in case you're not up to date, the bike share system, the city voted on that in March. They're going to move forward with that.
Yeah, and right now the plan for bike share is to put about 300 bikes for rent at 30 outdoor stations around the city, including out at NC State and Shaw. And the experts say it'll probably take about 2 years to get the whole thing launched.
Yeah, not everyone is in love with this idea. Some people just aren't sure it's going to work in Raleigh. Charlotte's got it, and of course, you know, Raleigh versus Charlotte, that whole yada yada, yada competitiveness. But, you know, other people are really excited about the project. One of the anti-arguments was that if it was going to be a good idea, then the private sector would have already started it. Sure how I feel about that, but I think it's going to be kind of cool to see. And, you know, BPAC and the city are working on some other things. Just the other week, they had kind of a fun family-friendly ride to go see all the five new colorful bike racks around town, downtown. And the other thing I kind of wanted to mention was that there is a bike rally app out there, which I have not tried yet, so I would love for our listeners to kind of weigh in on whether that's worthy or not.
Yeah, I haven't used that, of course, myself, since I'm too lazy to bike. what I do is a lot of driving. And
we all do.
Yeah, our next topic is cars. It's the most common mode of transportation in Raleigh. Anyone who's ever been on the highway probably realizes that. We probably won't focus on them too much in the podcast, but of course roads and parking are big issues. One topic I want to bring up again later is the new metered motorcycle parking on Glenwood South. To my understanding, it's the first metered motorcycle parking in the state. Which is kind of cool. So we'll be talking about that and other sort of Raleigh parking news in an upcoming episode. One thing we'll definitely delve into is sort of all these surface lots in downtown Raleigh.
Yeah.
I've written about that a few times at the Record and always gets a lot of attention. People just don't like seeing that sort of premium space wasted, essentially. I think Leo's touched on that a bunch of times.
Yeah, yeah. And parking is one of those topics that I get kind of passionate about because I hate hearing people who don't live downtown come down here and say, there's nowhere to park. It's like, well,
right.
Actually, that's not true. But I promise I won't rant about that right now. Maybe later.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Back to the cars, although this is a bit ranty, is the drive that we really love to hate, and that's I-40. And
yeah.
The Fortify project, as the PR people decided to call it, instead of Crawley, but come on, let's be honest, we all want to call it Crawley.
We voted for.
That's right. And I do an unfortunate amount of driving on I-40 south of the city, where the heart and center of all this is going on. But on the plus side, it is getting done. They're slowly finishing some of those sections. We're driving on some new pavement out there.
Yeah.
And the NCDOT says we are going to be on all 8.5 miles of brand new interstate by late summer or early fall. I got my fingers crossed. You know how construction deadlines are, but that'll be pretty exciting. So, woo-hoo! Cheers.
Yeah, it'll be really nice when that's finished. And I really wish they had stuck with the Crawley name. stupid PR. But... the PR for Union Station, which is our next topic, has been a lot better. I think everyone's pretty excited to see how this turns out. Let's be honest, if you're listening to a podcast about transit, you probably like trains, and that's the big thing for Union Station. In my opinion, the best thing about the new station is that there's going to be retail and dining options. Anyone else who's ever taken Amtrak from anywhere is familiar with the frequent delays, and anyone who's taken it out of Raleigh knows that there's not really a whole lot of options. I think there might have been 2 vending machines. If you're there early and you want some breakfast, last time I was there, I had to walk all the way up to the Starbucks at the hotel, which was frustrating because it was uphill, and obviously I don't like that.
Well, and leave it to you to think about food as the best part of the transit station.
Yeah.
I understand it's important. But for those of us who are excited about Union Station for other reasons, don't get too excited. It's not going to be Penn Street. It's not going to be 30th Street Station. But hey, this is a huge upgrade over what we've got now. So, of course, it's going to be cool. It's going to do a lot for the Warehouse District and for Raleigh.
Yeah, and that's true. And Union Station is going to be multimodal, which means it's not just going to be trains. They're going to have buses there and room for taxi to drop off, pick up. We're going to put some project history in our show notes, and we'll definitely be coming back to this topic again soon for a deep dive. And I've even heard rumors they're going to be doing a tour sometime in the near future of the construction site, so if we can somehow glom onto that, that'd be great. But some of the highlights so far, council approved full funding for the construction in March of 2015, it broke ground in January 2016, expected to be completed by late 2017. The building will be 26,000 square feet. And about 200 of that will be, or about 9,200 of that will be passenger areas.
The platform is going to be 920 feet, and cool part about that is it's going to have a canopy, so we can all stand out there in the rain and not get wet. This is also going to be in the center of 2 tracks, so the tracks are on both sides. That way people can board on either side, which just kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And another, hey, somebody's doing their thinking, the platform's going to be level with the train doors. Right now, if you've ridden Amtrak out of Raleigh, you climb aboard, and of course, I like trains, so I like to say, all aboard, and I know it's super cheesy, but hey, you just bear with me. But at the same time, let's be honest, wheelchairs, people with huge bags, it's kind of tedious to climb up on a train, so that's going to be great. The other cool thing is this station will pull the tracks off the main line. That means the freight and other trains behind our train don't have to sit there and wait while we load. So that's a good thing as far as keeping things on schedule.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is one of the many reasons those Amtrak trains get backed up, is just they have to share the track, and it's tough. The whole project itself has an estimated cost of about $88 million. As with most construction projects, that's not going to be the final number, of course. Actually, at the July 17th City Council meeting, crews reported that it was about 17% complete, but said they've run into some challenges that have run up the bill by more than $5 million. You know, some of those problems are high water table, contaminated soil. They had about a $3 million contingency fund and have figured out some other areas to sort of balance out those costs or challenges.
Yeah, I love the, you know, air quotes, challenges that they're having. That's just, but it's construction. That's just how it goes. On the plus side, at that meeting, they did say it's all going to be taking shape next spring, so that's when we're going to start to see this thing coming together. And, of course, we're going to be back on this topic much, much more. But I also wanted to do a quick mention of Moore Square Bus Station, because that's getting a super nice facelift. If you've been over there, you've seen some of the brick coming down. They're really going to clean up that space, add a nice ticket window, electronic display for the bus schedules. You can see renderings. We're going to link to those in our show notes. And that project will be finished up this winter.
Yeah, and if anyone who's walked down Wilmington Street lately, they might have seen that new sign for Moore Square, which is sort of, I don't know what design you'd call it, deco. It's really neat looking. That's the important part. But our next final topic is the transit tax and the bus system. This is something, again, we'll be discussing more in the future. But for those of you who aren't caught up, here's some of the very basic details of what's going on. So in June, and this is not by any means when the discussion started, but in June of this year, the Wake County Commission voted to put a referendum on the November ballot to raise the local sales tax rate by 0.5 cent to pay for mass transit projects. And they also adopted a $2.3 billion transit plan for the county.
And that's billion with a B.
Yeah, so no big deal. Half that money is going to come from the state and federal government. You know, it's taxes either way, but the county will have to figure out the other half, and that's where the this half-cent sales tax comes in, and they're estimating it will raise about $78 million per year.
Yeah, right now, the plan for spending all of that fantastic tax money is to expand the bus system and the frequency of buses, and then also to build a 37-mile commuter rail line. So the buses, they're going to try to get them running every 15 minutes, and it's going to be like, instead of 17 miles of bus routes, it'll be 83, so that's a huge jump.
Wow, yeah.
The rail line will connect Raleigh and Wake County with RTP, and that's going to then connect out to Durham and Chapel Hill, which if you've been following transit, you know they've got their own tax going on, and they're working on some rail out there. The rail will have at least 8 trips each way during the peak hours every day, and it's going to connect Garner, downtown, NC State, Cary, Mooresville, and RTP, and then, like I said, out to Durham.
Yeah.
The other cool thing about the plan is bus rapid transit. That's a dedicated bus lane on some of the major roads so that the buses can keep their schedules, because I know for anyone who rides the bus regularly, that's definitely a huge problem. And you can learn all about this at waketransit.com, and of course we'll link to some more on that in our show notes. This is probably going to be a huge topic for us for the next several weeks. We'll probably do 2 or 3 episodes on it even, so stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and one interesting sort of thing to throw in there real quick, again, something I'd seen on Twitter recently, but GoGo Raleigh, who runs another great local website, had mentioned, tweeted out an article about Uber's self-driving cars and said, this is your future of transit, Raleigh. Basically, what's happening is these self-driving cars are going to start picking up their first customers next month. That is September 2016. And I guess they're going to be testing out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and they'll sort of randomly assign them to customers. So it's not like you can pick the robot cars, although, you know, I imagine if you could, that they would be in much higher demand than the other ones, at least.
Or not,
for me.
Depending.
You know, I'll take the risk if it means not having to make small talk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, that's true. But, you know, the safety concerns. I know a lot of people still are not so sure about that.
Yeah. And I mean, there have been some accidents with those Tesla cars, but those aren't really self-driving. It's, I don't know if you saw that, but those are kind of weird. It does actually remind me a little bit if you've ever seen Total Recall, when Arnold's on the moon and they've got these really goofy little taxis with the robot drivers. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's so funny to look back at movies and how they picture the future and what it's going to be like.
Right. And that, I guess that part wasn't too far off, but the Uber cars probably won't have the stupid little taxi driver.
Dummy guy,
yeah,
in the
robot
front seat.
In the front. Yeah. But yeah, in the meantime, we're going to be posting information and tidbits about Raleigh Transit on our website, which, like Jennifer said, is inboundraleigh.com.
And we want to hear from you. This has been a fun first episode. We want your input on how we did and topics you want to hear us talk about. You can email us at inboundraleigh@gmail.com. And, of course, we're also on Twitter and Facebook. And I think I also got an Instagram account going, although I haven't taken too many pictures yet. Our handle on both those platforms is also inboundraleigh. Yeah, feel free to share ideas, feedback, ideas for discussion. If we actually get an email, we will read some of that out loud at the end of each episode.
Yeah, I might end up writing a few of those emails myself, just to give us something to talk about. But thanks again for listening to our very first episode of Inbound Raleigh. You'll be able to find future episodes on our website on littleraleighradio.com or wherever you find your podcasts. So be sure to join us for our next episode. We'll be chatting with Eric Lamb, who, as Jennifer mentioned at the top of the show, is the city transportation manager, and we'll be discussing a bunch of Raleigh transit topics with him. So really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be probably kind of another roundup style like this time. I did want to also do a quick shout-out for Little Raleigh Radio. We mentioned our show airs first on littleraleighradio.com. They are a local nonprofit radio station. They're hoping to get a low-level FCC license. I might have some of that terminology wrong. So they can broadcast over the airwaves. But in the meantime, they are just online. And you can always hear our show there first. In the meantime, thank you so much for watching. Or listening. We'll catch you next time.